Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Friday, March 30th, 2018. With me today, I have John Martellaro. How are you, John?
Hi, I'm the new Chief Speaking Officer.
Oh, that's great, because we need that really bad. Andrew Orr, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Good to have you here. And actually, it's great to have both of you here. I'm glad you're joining me today. And I want to talk about stuff today that relates to the macOS and iOS updates that rolled out yesterday. So as of now, we have iOS 11.3 out. And so along with that, there's also watchOS 4.3, tvOS 11.3, and HomePod update 11.3, and then macOS High Sierra 10.13.4. So yesterday was a big honkin' updates day, and I'm not going to get into the HomePod software update, but I will say the way you get to where you make it install is way too complicated, I think. So I'll include a link to my tip on how to do that in the show notes. But instead, how about if we start with Apple and data and privacy and transparency. And Andrew, you wrote about this yesterday. So it's part of iOS and macOS because it relates to your Apple profile, so your Apple ID. So what exactly is Apple doing here?
So this May, Apple is going to let customers download a copy of all of the data stored with Apple, similar to what you can do with Facebook. You can download your profile data from Facebook. So with Apple, some of the data you'll be able to download, basically anything in a Apple app and service. So your contacts, your calendar, photos, song preferences in Apple Music. Mm-hmm. And besides downloading, you'll be able to temporarily deactivate your account or even permanently delete it and correct personal information that they may have.
So one thing that I'm guessing people will want to know about right away, especially if they've downloaded their Facebook profiles and seen all the stuff that's there, what about messages, conversations there? And I think I know the answer, but I'm curious what you know.
So, I mean, we all know that messages between iPhone users, they're end-to-end encrypted. Mm-hmm. So whatever information would be there would probably just be maybe some metadata. But otherwise, Apple can't see what you text to other iPhone users. If you're texting Android people and so the messages become SMS, then you might get some data on that.
So, but any iMessage data is encrypted anyhow. So
yeah.
So those conversations, well, actually, the SMS conversations, it doesn't even ultimately matter if they're in your profile data, because your cell service provider, they have all that in plain text.
Mm-hmm.
So those conversations are just not protected in any way. But your iMessage content, it's not like someone could download your profile and then start going through your iMessage conversations.
Yeah, exactly. No one knows the content of your messages except you and the other person.
Okay, cool. That's as it should be.
Mm-hmm. Andrew, do you know anything about the download process? You have to log on with your Apple ID
and two-factor
authentication enabled in order to do that?
I couldn't find any information on that. I'm assuming it won't matter whether you have it enabled or not. That's just an extra security feature. But you'll be able to download this from the Apple ID management website.
So what is it that prompted Apple to decide to do this? Because, I mean, it seems like a good idea to me. So
yeah,
why now?
So the European Union, for the past, I'm not sure how long, I've only heard about it for the past month or so, they're going to be coming out with some new privacy rules for consumers, and it's called the General Data Protection Regulation. And this is going to affect a lot of companies, whether they're in Europe or in the U.S.
Mm-hmm.
And like I noted in my article, I kind of wish that Apple would have done this sooner instead of kind of being forced to do it because of regulation. I mean, it's still a good thing either way, but, you know, Apple is going on and on about privacy, and I think this would have been a good move to do before.
Yeah, I agree. I love that Apple has been such a strong proponent of personal privacy. And I think transparency is an important part of that. And this mm-hmm. is a level of transparency we haven't had before. So, yeah, this is something Apple should have given us a long time ago. But like you,
yeah, I think we're now. But I think it's part of a general trend. We're going to talk in the second segment about an aspect of this where Apple's offering services that are based on exploitation of their privacy infrastructure. And while it would be nice if Apple had done it before, certainly the Facebook incident and the GDPR are certainly instigating Apple to start, I think, promoting services that solve problems instead of create problems in privacy.
Yeah.
Well, I'm all for more privacy with our data, because people and companies have been playing fast and loose with our privacy for far too long. And I totally get that some people are aware that this is how it is and feel like, well, that's what it is, and that's how it's been all along, so we don't have a right to complain mm-hmm. now. I think it's more like people are changing their mind to a degree about how they feel about that privacy, and maybe they're better educated now. Maybe they're just scared. I don't know. But I'm okay with people changing their mind and deciding now that they'd like to have more privacy. And I totally get that. What's already out there is out there, and that's not going to change.
Right.
But if we can fix things so that we do have better privacy moving forward, even though there's a bunch of us, like everyone, that has probably more info out there than we'd be comfortable with if we really understood what was happening, people that are coming after us, they may have better privacy. So we're taking one for the team.
It's a change in color of our perspective. I think for a long time the argument was, well, I don't really care if General Mills knows what my favorite cereal is. But with the Facebook and Cambridge Analytica affair, we're learning how information about us is not just used to sell us stuff, but it's also used to generate a psychological profile which can be turned against us in terms of advertising, manipulation, communication, and so on. So that's the next step we've gotten to.
Yeah, and I think that's scaring a lot of people. Yeah.
I think that's a good distinction to make, too, because, I mean, there are companies like Google who collect our information, but it's in order to make their services free, basically. Some people are comfortable with that, some people aren't, but what Facebook is doing is completely different. And They're going so far as to manipulate people's opinions.
Right. And I would wager that most people don't understand how Facebook fundamentally operates and the business model behind it. They focus on the front-end services and not the back-end business.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you know, a lot of people, all they see is that they get a service that's seemingly free, and they really like mm-hmm. it. Mm-hmm. And we have all kinds of people out there that have been trained to expect that they should be able to have everything for free. Right. And there's consequences that go along with that, and people are learning that now. I think being able to download your profile data can help educate people so they have a better understanding of just exactly what different companies have on them.
Exactly.
I downloaded my Facebook data the other day, and I was just... I wasn't surprised at what's there because I know what information I have in Facebook. But at the same time, I was surprised at just how much information is there.
Oh, yeah.
It was a really big download.
And if you had been using an older version of Android instead of iOS, there might have been information in there about your phone calls and who you called.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's just creepy. Yeah. And I'm glad that for reasons like that I'm not an Android user, and just the idea that there could be an app that's just siphoning off everything about my communication with people outside of the app, that's just creepy.
That's why I always advise people to lock down their phone, sit down with your iPhone in the evening, and go through the settings and turn off stuff that you haven't used or don't think you'll need. Whenever there's a new version of iOS out, like came out yesterday, I check to make sure that any new feature isn't enabled by default if you don't need it or don't want it. Identify the new features that are in the new version of the iOS and see if there's a setting that applies to it. And it's probably turned on by Apple by default because they're going to figure, oh, you're going to want to use this wonderful new feature. But if you don't need it, you don't need it. Foresee a need for it. Turn it off until you really do need it. Then turn it on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I have a feeling that when we do download our Apple profile data, I have a feeling that there probably won't be much, like, anything that will be surprising because Apple handles data differently. I think it will mostly just be information that we've already given Apple. Like, you know, our contacts, calendar, stuff like that.
Yeah. Well, I'll download my data right away so that I can pick through it and see if there are any surprise data bits that people need to know about.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So that's coming, did you say, in May?
Yeah. So the regulation goes into effect on May 25th. So I'm assuming Apple is going to turn us on before that.
Yeah. All right. Well, come May, I'll download my data. We'll see what's in there. And if there's any surprises, I'll let people know. All right. So the other thing that we need to talk about today, and John, you alluded to this just a couple minutes ago, which is how all of this kind of fits together in a different way with messages. So here's the deal. With iOS 11.3 and macOS High Sierra 10.13.4, we now have one of the features that Apple has been talking about for, a couple months at least? Actually, a lot longer than that. It's called Business Chat. And so what Business Chat does is it lets you have a real-time conversation in the Messages app with a business. And it's done in such a way so that you are anonymous. And when you decide the conversation is over, you stop the conversation. And at that point, the link is broken. So the business can't try and reinitiate that communication through messages with you. So the idea is, let's say Wells Fargo is your bank. And Wells Fargo is one of the companies that's on board with Business Chat already. And so you're having some weird problem with your account. And so you can just hop into Messages, start a conversation with Wells Fargo. And of course, in this case, they're going to have some information about you because how else can they help you with your bank account? But you can have this conversation with them and get your technical support, your business support, whatever, write in Messages in real time. And then when you're done, you stop the conversation and it's over. So maybe a better example of keeping this really anonymous would be Home Depot. and you want some help picking out some materials for the deck you're going to build. And so you can start a conversation with the Home Depot people. Maybe you're trying to pick out a new air conditioner for your apartment, something like that. And they can help you out. They can ask you questions to help figure out exactly what the right product is for you. They can even go so far as to give you a link so that you can have the exact product you're talking about show up on the website, in their own app, whatever. And they never know who you really are. And when you're done with that conversation, you figured out what air conditioner you need. You've got the link so that you can now go buy it. You stop the conversation and it's done. And they don't know who you were. They can't start the conversation back up, and you've gotten the help you needed. So does that sound like a good overview of business?
Yeah, it's a great overview. And what fascinates me is the business aspect of it as opposed to the technological aspect of it. It used to be that, if you needed, like you said, an air conditioner, you'd pick up the phone and call your local Ace Hardware, and Bill would answer. And you'd say, "Hi, Bill," because you'd seen Bill in the store before. And you'd say, "Do you have an air conditioner model such and such from General Electric?" And he'd call them, "Go check. Yeah, we got one of those. We got several of them in stock." And great, I'll run down and pick up one. And then by and by, the Ace Hardware became bigger and bigger and bigger. And now when you call Ace Hardware, you get into voicemail jail. And you can wait forever to talk to a real person. So what do? You go to Amazon and you read the reviews of other people and you join that community and you click a button and there's an air conditioner on your front porch. And so now we're full circle again to business chat, where now you can engage, go back and talk to Bill again.
Right. And now you also have the added surprise of now you start getting ads about air conditioners.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So I like the idea of being able to have a discreet conversation with a business where they don't know who I am. And I don't have to worry about them trying to pester me later on with follow-up phone calls or ads to try and sell me other things that I'm not really interested in.
Business has to make a pretty sober assessment about the value of that, right? I mean, there'll be a lot of meetings where people will say, some executive will query an engineer and say, "Well, why are we implementing this if we can't circle back to the customer and close the deal?"
Well, because in many cases, they actually will close the deal simply because they could help someone and say, "Here's the link to the product you're going to buy."
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's true, but they don't have a way of tracking whether that conversation actually produced a sale, and that probably makes a lot of people who are obsessed with metrics nervous.
Well, they could give you a URL that's associated with a specific chat. I wonder if they can do that. I wonder if that's a violation of the terms, because at that point, you may not be anonymous anymore.
Yeah.
That's a good point.
But, okay, so that would be interesting to know. And I haven't had a chance to dig that deep into this yet. Listeners, if any of you know more about that part of business chat, let me know. Because if that's a loophole to work around our privacy and anonymity, I'd like to know about it. So you can do that by leaving me a message on Twitter. That would be at TMO Daily. You can shoot me an email, observations@macobserver.com, or leave comments in the show notes, and I'll be watching all those places. And I'll be looking, too, to see if I can find more information about that. So now it's a race. Will I find the answer before you do, listeners? So I'm actually kind of excited about the whole business chat concept, because I think it could just be a really convenient way for me to interact with businesses that I'm interested in getting some sort of help from. And I'm curious, how do you guys feel about this before we wrap up?
I really like the idea. And like we were just talking about, I think my favorite feature is that once you want to end the conversation, it's done. And the business can't keep harassing you with new products or ads. So I think this is a good move.
Yeah. Okay. And John, how about you?
Yeah, I like it too, because it is another avenue for a company to open up its door. It's sort of like the Clutrain manifesto situation, or engaging community and engaging your customer and having a conversation that's crucial to commerce. So this is great. And it's also great that Apple's leveraging its privacy technology to offer a service that solves a problem, as I said in the first segment.
Yeah. All right. Well, I haven't had a chance to try this yet myself. So we'll see if I'm just as excited after I really get to jump into business chat. And we are out of time. So, Andrew, thank you for being here today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
And John, thank you for being here as well.
You're very welcome.
And listeners, thank you for joining us. It's been a fun and busy week. I hope everyone has a wonderful weekend, and we'll see you again on Monday.